Hey y'all, happy Thirsty Thursday. You're tuned into episode 51, Negative Business Practices. Me and Ayana are definitely going to dive into, you know, those shady experiences with freelancers, entrepreneurs, and sometimes even in the workplace. Thank you for tuning in to episode 51, Negative Business Practices. So, Delilah, we should just kind of jump right in.
Let's do it. We already gave y'all an intro. You know, that's new or whatever, whoever picked that up. Did y'all notice how we intro the episodes now? How do you guys like it?
We got some music going.
Yo, we finagling this podcasting life.
Switching it up a little bit.
It's called growth, learning, you know, adding the bells and whistles.
So, negative business practices, this has been such a thing.
And recurring. I don't know what hashtag to do recurring. With it. It just keeps on happening. Like, people, you need to get it together.
Girl, so, like, okay, so let's kind of like backtrack a little bit because you know we bi-weekly. So, like, how did we even think about this topic? Like, what happened?
Part of it were things that we kept, like, people that we're cool with kept on running by us situations that they personally were going through. Mm-hmm. So I won't mention any names. It doesn't even matter. It's just the point that, damn, you going through that. And A doesn't have to do with B. And then in some situations and instances, we have recommended or referred people to people and seen shadiness, you know, present itself in other ways.
It's like crazy because it's like people be presenting this persona of like a well-packaged product.
Facade.
And right. They like
they out here desert storm.
I'ma use Suli's phrase. They're fucking frauds.
Yes. Fraude. Like, for real. For people that speak Spanish. Fraude.
For real. Like how you like you're this, I don't know, expert, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yet you don't have simple things down, like just communication. You know what I'm saying? People are out here talking about, I'm going to have deliverables here, but it doesn't add up. And again, we're not talking, we're talking about from personal experience of our own from, you know, previous things, nothing current. But we're just saying, like, from people that we've been engaging with lately, everyone is just like confused about why people are presenting one thing but they're showing something else. And a big part of it is communication that we're finding, right? Mm-hmm. Like communicating with the client, communicating with whoever about what's old, what's not, what your expectations are, what aren't.
Or false pretensing because you're trying to live up and hold up to this standard that you're really not about.
Exactly.
Which is fine, but get there first before you're trying to charge and do the utmost or take on more than you can chew.
Handle. Yeah. The bandwidth is so important. And
it sure is.
It's like we're hearing that projects have been flopped.
People is not getting their assets, but payments have been given. It's just like, no, you don't do that. Like, you have to deliver on shit that you got paid for. I don't care if it was in advance, if it wasn't complete. And for those on the other end, read your contract. See what the stipulations are. Like, be clear on both ends. Because once your money is given, it's going to be hard if things go sour for you to get your money back. So you might not get your money back and you might not get the assets. Which is really messed up on behalf of the person who was supposed to deliver. Like, that reflects on them.
Right.
But, like, you know, to save your ass, you're not out here just trying to dish out money to not get what you paid for.
Right.
It's not cool.
Because it still also kind of reflects on you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what, like, didn't you know this going in? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, what did you expect?
And that could be a rushed decision making on your part because you're trying to, like, scramble and get things together and do things or, like, have this outstanding deadline that cannot really be met by the person who's supposed to fulfill the needs of that you have. And so right there, we already started on the wrong foot.
Right. And it's just like, so what are, I guess like a good thing would be like, what are some ways to, I don't know, prevent this from happening, mm-hmm. right? Like what we should share some ways because as professionals and experts in our field and people who do consultations all the time,
right.
you know, what should people be mindful of? I think one of the best things you just said is define the contract and really the fine print. Mm-hmm. Like what is it that's being asked and what is it that's being delivered? Being clear on that from jump, right? To avoid any issues down the line.
Mm-hmm.
What would be like the second thing people should be hip to?
Understanding the expectation of how long it takes for what you need.
That timeline.
Yeah, the timeline. Because, I mean, in our own personal journey, we were given a timeline of sorts and things have gotten shifted, which is totally fine. But just communicate when those shifts are happening, because so we know we're staying on a deadline or not. I think you just have to let people know what's going on so they know what to expect. Because if you're the expert who's supposed to, let's say you're an artist and right. you're supposed to paint the picture, and the picture was supposed to be done for an event because it's going to get auctioned, and you don't have the picture for that event, like, that causes a lot of issues and problems. But if you let the person know, like, if when they ordered the picture, it was not a rush delivery fee for when that timeline, like, right. you know what I'm saying?
There's all these things that you have to be yeah. mindful of.
And that's just, like, a fake example. So imagine if it's, that's, like, so basic. When it's bigger projects, there's so many elements and layers. And it's also communication, because there's certain things
it's
that...
It's a big thing, communication.
Yeah, it's, like, literally, I keep on repeating it, it's communication, because... Even for the person to get their job done, there may be certain assets that they need from you
right.
so that they can complete it on their end.
Right.
So if you're being late on giving in, whether it's like filling out a form or filling out questions when it comes to like a brand questionnaire
right,
and
right.
you're holding that process back, then they can't move forward the way they need to be.
Exactly. And I think another thing would be doing your research, right? Like understanding who you're getting into business with or collaboration with or whatever.
Ask for those receipts.
Because... you'd be surprised how many people be like, oh, I collaborated with this or I hired this person. And it's like, well, what was their previous work like? What did they do? Have you seen examples?
Oh, because, what was the outcome they gave
right,
to you?
What were the results? Because if you don't really have anything to base it off of, how can you trust what they're supposed to be presenting to you?
Exactly.
And then that's when we fall down the line of like, well, maybe you didn't get the assets that you wanted. Or like, I mean, there's all these things that come up. So really doing your research on someone before actually signing the dotted line is going to be super helpful and prevent you from negative business practices.
Yeah. And it's like, I guess you can add in negative business situations in
yeah.
that. But it's just people that they don't like meet to a standard of sorts, or like people are not holding them accountable.
Yeah.
And so they get away with doing fucking half-ass work.
Which is so unfortunate though, because it's like, how can I refer you to someone else when this was the outcome? And then the fact that, like, someone else is... Okay, so going back to facade, that's where facade comes in. Because I feel like there are a lot of people out here who are really stunting, especially on the gram, that they're this, they deliver that. And then when you really get into business with them, that is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what are we doing? And you know, really understanding who you're getting into business with is, like, a really major hurdle that you need to get past in order to collaborate with someone.
Fact.
It's only going to help you in the future.
Agreed.
So, continuing on, this is something that we're going to keep coming back to.
Right.
But that's just kind of how we feel about negative business practices.
The intro that'll lead the way to the rest of this conversation.
So, jumping into a positive note, this past weekend, right, was really lit. It feels like forever ago, but this
right.
past
this
does,
week is going short. It's like moving going, slow. Or something.
It, yeah, I feel like it was forever ago. But Delilah and I both attended Curlfast, as well as like 80 other thousand.
Yo, all of Brooklyn, all of like the Western Hemisphere came.
All
like,
five boroughs was in attendance.
Yo, it was litzy.
Even Staten Island.
Yes, shout out to Staten Island. I don't know why, but...
No, I can't. Nobody goes there.
If we have any followers and listeners from Staten Island, we appreciate you.
We love you.
Yes.
So, Curlfast was fun, though.
It
specifically
was so
because we was in the chill zone.
We was in the VI motherfucking P. And that is the only time, if you invite me to Curlfast, that I would attend.
Agreed.
If I'm not working it.
Agreed.
Because when I tell you that, it was so worth that
$49.
And let me give a shout out to Curlfast for getting their shit together ASAP. Because last year, it was so chaotic. And I don't think so much in part, therefore, it was just more they probably didn't expect how exponentially they grew and how much awareness their brand has gotten. And people was making money moves to Curlfast, like flying in from all sorts of places. The weather ended up panning out. It was amazing.
For a good couple of hours.
Curls were flourishing. Skin was out. Outfits were on point. The music was so good. It was like amazing. Like I had such a good time. I got there around 1. The line wasn't too bad. The lines were organized based on, like, the ticket level you had. And also, they were, like, moving. Like, they just were able to separate, whereas last year was just, like, a whole big crowd of people trying to, like, get in.
I think they're doing better. I mean, I hope next year this is even better. Because the line thing was a little crazy when I got there at 2-something. But especially because I felt like if you have a ticket, like, you really shouldn't have to wait on such a line. But that's a whole nother thing. Right. But to your point, though,
the feedback was taken. So it's like, yeah, I know it's going
to
get better.
Having that separation. And either way, the chill zone was lit. Like, to have that space. Because when you go out in the main area, it was just crazy.
It was, like, literally a chill zone, like, away from the chaos. We had hammocks, beanbag.
Photo stations.
I got a henna tattoo. They gave us water. Icy. We had icy.
Your lobster. Thing.
Yes, that I had to pay for, but shout out to the Crab Shack. It was giving, like, selling crab rolls. So it's like a lobster roll, but with crab, shredded crab. It was really good. And we picnicked, I brought a bottle of rosé, and we was just chilling, living our best lives, and just, you know, people watching or whatever.
It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And yay to Curlfest. Yes, congrats on a good
happy festival. 5 years.
Right. See you next year in the chill zone.
Yes.
Yeah. Or if they have something better than the chill zone, that's where we'll
Whatever's VIP, I'm going. And the goodie bags were really good. Did you like what you got in your goodie bag?
Yeah.
I haven't, like, really played with anything.
But I haven't. It's still there in my closet, but I did pull out a few products, like, and stuff. Yeah.
I love that they had the Jamaican castor oil. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my flourishing
eyelashes. I was using the Shine Jam gel thing.
Cool. I gotta go and look. Like, I have so many products. Like, I literally have a CVS.
It's crazy.
Speaking of that, shout out to all the girls who entered my poll with my beauty swap that I'm trying to put together. So I was trying to do, like, almost like a, what do you call that when you sell stuff on the street? Like a garage sale.
Yeah.
But for, like, beauty stuff. And I was going to sell everything, like, you know, $5 and $10 super cheap. I just have so much. But people were like, send me pictures right now. I want to know what you got. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to make it to, like, something in person. So I think people just want to, like, cash at me.
I voted on that one. Because I'm like, it's just quick.
So I think I'm going to do that. I just haven't literally had the time to, after you guys did the poll, to, like, sit down and take a picture of each of the items so you guys can, like, grab from them.
Right.
But I got a really huge response from that. I was, like, hyped that y'all were even listening to me. Because, you know, you pose a question, you're like, so y'all not going to answer my question? So you're not going to take my poll? But, yeah. So stay tuned for that. And shout out to those who's going to participate. And what else? Oh, yes. So, Ayana front. No. She over here looking at the next topic. And she really fronted on me because on Saturday after Curlfest, we were supposed to both meet up and do our little after party kind of thing at Silly Girls rooftop party. Shout out to the Silly Girls. You know, we collaborating with them at the end of the summertime. That's another update down the line. But they had a rooftop house party and it was so lit. It was raining.
It did look lit.
But when I tell you that these DJs went off, like, it was like 5-6 DJs. They took different turns. My sister said the best word. She was like, this crowd is so eclectic. And I was like, yes, that is, like, the word to use. Like, it was just different
from the
people.
From the Insta stories and look. I mean, but they're eclectic.
They are. So we have a Swedish girl, an Asian girl, and a freaking English girl who's Indian. So, like, they are the United Nations within themselves. But then the crowd that they brought in, it was just a dope vibe. I walked in there with my rosé bottle because it was BYOB. Like I said, it was raining, but a part of their rooftop is closed in. And it was just, like, a super dope vibe night. I had a long night, so I just did until, like, 11:30. But Ayana never made it because she fronted. She was like, it was raining and whatever. And I was like, okay.
First,
you were supposed to be there.
I understand that. And I'm tight because the goal was to get there. Like, you don't understand what I had to go through. My family is crazy. And it was this whole thing. Like, my cousin had to change her clothes. Then we had to go get something to eat. By the time I turned around, and then first of all, traffic from Curlfest to get to my...
Y'all were driving?
Yeah, it was just a lot. It was just a lot. By the time we were done, H was like, they're closing the party.
Oh, yes, because shout out to the NYPD. They came like 5 times because people were complaining. Mind you, it was mad early, summertime. Like, their neighbors were just wilding.
Yeah.
Like, it was not even that loud. But NYPD was mad chill. They was like, all right, we're going to give it. They gave us, like, kind of like a curfew. I think I left before they came back another time to, like, actually shut it down. And then they took the party to a bar, but I was not here for that.
But it was fun, though. It was fun. It was a good time. Yay to the girls.
I had a good Saturday.
This is their third
party? And with us, it'll be their fourth.
Awesome. So stay tuned for that.
Yep.
Moving on into a hustler spirit.
Yes.
I feel so proud to talk about this.
We both do. We feel like we're proud sisters. And it's just like we are here to change people's lives. And we're doing that through Carla. Carla DuBois. She is doing boss shit out here in the streets. Being our social media manager, you guys know that she got promoted with Non Corporate Girls, and she's just really been riding with us and being such a team player. And
she's just the ultimate team player, though.
And she gets the vision.
Like,
she gets the vision. She believes in us the same way we believe in her. And so, you know, we've been really building our brand and like trying to grow as a company, and just being me and Ayana and having full time like obligations, it's not always as easy to get through our task list mm-hmm. and to like move forward in things. And so right now, like, the quantifying measure is Carla, because she has gotten so many opportunities because of the work that she's done with us. People are like checking for her. They see her. We like pump her at any point we can. Like, we really are her cheerleaders.
We give her advice. We help her with her contracts, her negotiation, whatever she needs.
Like, we really pour into her.
We're here for her. We hook her up with leads if we have them. Mm-hmm. She's just we just all around here for her. Like, just helping her. Like, any questions she has about how the delivery or anything, we're here for her. And we've been really like helping her grow as a person. But she's such an amazing talent that I think really what we've been doing is just helping her see how amazing she is.
Yeah, like letting her like realize that her talent is worth it. Like, she has something.
So worth it.
Like, whoever's team she like gets on from the opportunities presented and whatever pans out, they are going to be so lucky. Like, they better be grateful, because Carla is the ish.
And all we can hope is that she just continues to stay with us.
Yeah. But Carla, I just want you to know, you're not going nowhere. You're not going nowhere, Ma. Okay? Because in the contract that we wrote, there was a little non-disclosure, you know, a little sign that slipped in there. You signed forever. This is forever.
I'm done. I'm not even going to touch on that. But we really wanted to bring her up because, you know, Hustle Spirit is a really important segment for us, where we get to highlight people who are really doing the damn thing. And Carla is doing the damn thing. Like, she's someone who, regardless of all her challenges in her life that she's going through, she still comes out here, she still shows the fuck up, and she does her job. Mm-hmm. It is, and then some. Mm-hmm. I don't even think she does her job. I think she does beyond her job every single time.
Yeah, she really does. And it's just a testimony. And the reason we bring it up is also because, for you people listening out there, if you get the satisfaction, I feel like, of living life, I think we should all be service people.
Agreed.
We should all pour into people. We should all, like, give. Mm-hmm. And I think this is an example of, like, when you pour into someone, it really takes them to their fullest potential mm-hmm. and helps them to flourish, because you need a squad that's gonna root for you and, like, help you for those moments of doubt to remind you, like, girl, you got it. And she's very humble about it, and, like, you know,
super humble.
It's just amazing. I think for people like that, amazing things happen to them. So yeah. So Carla, keep doing your thing. And Ayana's over here playing with my braids because I got my Poetic Justice on.
I'm like jelly. I want some.
You're gonna get them. You're gonna get some. This is like my hair muse over here. She be doing all this stuff, but I'm like,
her hair look good, y'all. It look good.
Y'all gonna see me on the gram posting some pictures, because I'm going to Panorama this weekend to see Janet Jackson. So I feel like I'm wearing the Janet braids. This is an old Janet.
Yes, it is.
So yeah, but Carla, keep running, keep doing your thing. And for those that, you know, have a Carla in their team, appreciate them and let them know, like, that you're
rooting
very grateful
for them.
Yeah, you're grateful for how they pour into your business, in whatever capacity that is, because nobody owes you anything. And another point is for me and Ayana to realize that we really handpick people. Like, our team is just us three right now. We haven't brought on somebody else. We are looking for a PR intern. So anybody who is looking to grow, if you want to be a Carla testimony.
holla at your girls.
Yeah, holla at us for that PR opportunity. And yeah.
But yeah, Carla, I got what you were saying. Carla, she doesn't even know how much she's helped us because, mm-hmm. you know, we're naturally, authentically these type of people. And the fact that we can see, like, how our help and support is really just lifting her up and it's helping her recognize her greatness is really, like, amazing. Like, we feel like proud big sisters. Like, this is so mm-hmm. amazing. And, like, we just want her to continue reaching her highest potential.
And when we were doing the interview process last summer, like, we both was like, Carla needs to come on. Like, we know.
The minute we interviewed her, we like, hung up from her. And we were like, oh, so she's it. This is it. Like, this is it. Like, we had other people. Yeah. We're like, this is it. Mm-hmm. Because she was just, she just gave us life.
Yep. And she's an Aries. We do that. You know what I'm saying? We just got into people's lives and just change it. You know?
Two Aries, I gotta deal with. Y'all hear the two Aries.
We just bring goodness to people's worlds, and sometimes people can't handle it, but y'all here for it. So we're gonna keep giving it to y'all.
Anyways, if y'all listen to this episode, definitely slide into Carla's DMs. Tell her, keep doing a good job, sis, because we see you shining. That would definitely, like, brighten her day.
Facts.
Checking into Off the Record. Oh, my God.
Off the Record is a fucking roller coaster of emotions. Like, literally a roller coaster of emotions.
And speaking of emotions, the retrograde, right?
Girl. So people, this virtual, like, you guys know I am into spirituality. Like, I love astrology. Like, I do believe in the cosmic powers, like, mm-hmm. having some type of,
because it's true.
It comes over you. It does take over your emotions. Just in this retrograde specifically, it is said to, like, be cleansing, like, a lot of the things that are happening, because I'm telling you, I posted an article from Elite Daily about how the full moon total lunar eclipse will affect your mood and amplify darker emotions. That's the name of the article. If you guys want to look it up and read it, I posted in my Insta stories as well. And when I tell you, so many people hit me up like, girl, you don't even know what I'm going through. Since last Friday, I just been super emotional, like, even just wanting to cry. Mm-hmm. Like, I just be having all the feels. Like, I be having to take that type of breath. Like, just relax. It's going to be fine. But I didn't, like, even though I believe in these things and the retrograde is happening, I'm having that type of moment, I'm not right then and there associating it mm-hmm. to that. But then I'll read an article or see something comes up and I'm like,
that's
yo.
How I feel.
Yeah, or I'm just like, this is what is affecting this. But again, I just, like, isolate my situation into, like, what's happening in my life. But other people are going through, like, their own, like, you know, roller coasters and stuff. But with retrogrades, a lot of people see it as a negative. And it's supposed to be, like, although you feel like a lot of bad shit is happening, mm-hmm. it's supposed to be, like, intended for your best destiny.
Right, it's like change.
Yeah, change that, you know, things are not always going to be the way. You know, because we stay in situations longer than we need to. So these situations that are happening are forcing us to get out.
They have to shake you up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the great
Unfortunately.
One.
I mean, we need it, but it'd be a real shake-up.
A real shake-up that you'd be forced to be like, you know, like.
You got
to
answer some questions. Yes. Do some assessments. Yep. It's real.
In whatever way that shows up, like, you need to respond. It forces you to have to respond.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of got to, like, go with the motions and still be able to, like, live life and enjoy things, but just pay attention.
Right. I was going to say, but don't ignore, though. Mm-hmm. That's a thing. Like, you got to really, like, be with the feeling. Mm-hmm. Figure mm-hmm. out why this is happening.
Right. Where this is stemming from. And that's usually what you have to give some time and care to mm-hmm. so that you could heal it.
Right.
But, yeah, so that's interesting. And then, I don't know, should we go, where should we go?
I mean, so that was kind of, like, not even a high, that was, like, a medium, but bringing mm-hmm. down a low.
Mm-hmm.
This whole, like, Nia Wilson stabbing is just, devastating, and it just hurts my heart every day. And I just see all the stuff. You guys know, I'm sure you guys know, but the background is that this girl, Nia Wilson, and her sister, they were in Oakland, and they were riding the BART, and this man, this white male, stabbed them, you know, like he just stabbed them. And they're saying he's an ex-convict, right? He just got released from prison. But either which way, everyone's undertone is like this was a racially profiled homicide. And it just hurts my heart because these two girls were coming from a family event and they decided to take the train. And I guess the one girl, Nia, doesn't even take the train. They were just taking the train. They probably just wanted to have some sister time, you know, mm-hmm. like they were just taking the
it's
train.
It's like, think about me and you going to 34th Street.
Which is why I'm just so devastated. I'm like, me and my sister take the train all the time. I mean, not all the time, but we take the
but
train.
But me and you take the train right? together. That could have been
it's,
me and you.
It's just so like, I just don't even understand. Like, it's just like you can't go anywhere, but I just
like
don't even know.
And it's funny because the next thing I'm going to bring up is my new summer read. But literally, I was reading my new summer read in the train.
I remember like my new summer read when we talked about this book like last year.
But I didn't
I know. But
we're going to get into it. So I'm reading it. And why am I reading my book? And then my thought, like, because, you know, you're reading, but sometimes, like a thought interrupter. And why was my thought interrupted? Like, what if I got stabbed right now on the train? I don't want to laugh. Like, you know, because that's our
game. No, but it's real.
But I was just, like, paying attention to the people around me. And I'm like, what if I'm, like, engulfed in this book, I'm reading this book, and somebody charges at me to stab me. And then because they were doing whatever normal people do being.
And I was talking to my homeboy, who is a very amazing lifestyle blogger. And we were talking about this because we talk every day about stuff like this. And I was just like, what is there else for me to do? I'm already a paranoid type of person. I already check my surroundings triple time. Like, I'm already aware of everything. Mm-hmm. What else more can I do? Like, he just kind of crept up on them. Like, what can I do? Like, I don't understand how you're supposed to just live
dig a cave and go there and go there and maybe a beaver
can't
or
live in a glass bubble. It just reminds me of growing up. Now I'm sure you probably have the same experience growing up. Just when my mom, because my mom is like used to be kind of like my mom's a little crazy, but she used to be like a little crazy, crazier, and just like her trying to like protect you from the world. You know, like how parents are trying to protect you from, and they like you live in this bubble, but it's like I can't stay home. You know what I mean?
Like if I'm getting out of work at 9 o'clock. I'm getting out of work at 9 o'clock. Right. Let's say for whatever reason I'm on my way home. My grandma would be like, "Ay, Dios mío, you gonna take the train at that time by yourself?" Yeah, grandma, because
I gotta live my life and I'm not gonna pay for this cab.
But so if I allowed, like, and certain people like that, they place their anxieties and shit on you.
All the time.
I don't know how I got lucky to like not let that
to not live in the bubble.
Yes, because my grandma will make you scared to go to the corner store if it's after 9:01.
No, but like, it's a thing.
And
it's
my thing is like if I go to the store at 7 a.m when the sun is shining, that same thing can happen to me.
Of course. And same thing, like people are like, oh my god, I'm like, I god forbid anything can happen. You can cross the street and get hit by a car, like anything can happen. So you can't be like, oh, like don't do this, don't do that. But it's
just live your
but
life.
What it's just so tough though.
It's tough,
devastating
part
story.
Of it is also social media and the way we receive news so quick and fast.
Yeah.
There was not this rapid way of finding out so much bad news. I went over someone's Instagram. Sure. I think she's a therapist. And she was mentioning, like, we hear so... She was like, all right, if you're scrolling and you see, like, two or three different, like, bad news, whether it has to do with killing, anything that's just, like, negative that would, like, take a toll on you emotionally, try to counteract it with five pieces of positive things. Whatever that is, like... Just good news, whether it's like looking at pictures of freaking puppies, you know, I love freaking puppies, or just reading something that's like inspiring or uplifting, because you have to counteract the thoughts. Because remember, when it even comes to like meditation and what we see is what transpires or manifests. So we really need to make sure that we're replacing those negative thoughts.
That's why I don't watch the news.
I know.
Because and it's just like I always hate my mom's like, did you see this? Did you see that? No, I'm not watching this because all it's gonna do is make me even more scared and paranoid to get out of my house. It's just, yeah. I just can't. But either which way, we're sure all of you have heard about this story. And we just have to say our prayers go out to her family. Mm-hmm. Our prayers go out to her family. And may we... Sorry, y'all.
Yeah, we over here talking. You know what? Carla is Carla, actually. So I'm saying it right here a lot. Carla's hitting me up talking about I'm her Ivory and she's Ebony because we both got box braids. And she's texting me to let me know because on Insta stories. Sorry. Rest in peace, Nia Wilson. I'm so sorry.
Moving on to Delilah's summer read. So Delilah finally opened the Southern R of Vacuum and the Fuck, which, you know, is not a new
It's not new at all. I got it for Christmas as a Secret Santa. Shout out Angelique, my BFF. I love you for giving me that book. But you know what? This is what this book taught me.
Yeah.
It's a good timing. Timing, because I needed this book right now when I'm reading it.
Agreed.
Everything that this book is telling, like, is bringing up is currently what's transpiring in my life. And so I didn't need it when I got it for Christmas, clearly. But God told me to open that book this week, Monday, and I'm already halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody needs to read that book.
Everybody.
Like, this guy, the way... it's literally things that we all know, but it's reminders, and the way he gives the reminders are in a different perspective that I think it helps to, like, solidify and, like, just further, like... prove what it is that we need to do as people and what we need to stop caring about and where we give our energy and attention to and, like, start really living life for you and thinking about you and, like, I don't know. That book is just really changing my mindset.
His delivery is just so...
He's like the homie.
And he is the homie. And everything he talk about, I say it. I'm like...
Yes. I should have wrote this book with you.
Right. But we all could have, right?
Right.
Because he's talking to us. So to that point, though, I'm halfway through and I didn't finish it. I need to finish it this week.
You know what?
Like, I have it. I literally put it down in March, though.
I have it right here in my bag. I'm going to tell you exactly
I'm going to finish it this weekend.
Come on, so we can discuss it. I'm literally on page... Oh, I thought it was further. I'm in page 92, chapter 5. You're always choosing.
Okay. I'm going to finish my book, too. But either which way, if you guys have not read this book, you definitely... It is a must read, for sure.
Like, we for get in our own ways. We... Even the part when he says, like, what... how you approach people. I don't even know where to begin and all the, like, gems that I wrote down that I want to tell you guys all right now.
When I first started revamping my Instagram, all my little quotes I was pulling...
Was coming from him.
Was coming from my thoughts on this. That's how I feel, too. Like,
I'm going to read this book, like, every 3 months.
You have to... You have to unpack it. It's a lot to unpack. And then you have to kind of sit with it a lot, right? Like, I felt like I was reading and sitting, trying to understand.
Yes, and I was... Because he asks you... a lot of tough questions. So it makes you self-reflect a lot because literally as I'm reading the book, I'm saying, like, what are my values? What do I allow? What do I stand for?
Yeah.
Why is it that I impose certain things on someone and expect that from them when what they give me is from, you know, their own expectation and experience? So, you know, your truths are not always reality.
That was one of the toughest things where I had to do a lot with that one because I have high expectations.
Yes.
And I have high expectations on people and I have to, like it was a whole
girl
thing.
So, like, that's the line, guys, I'm going to leave y'all with. Your truths are not reality. You get what I'm saying? Like, although, because they're your experiences, like, who you're with or who you're having a relationship with, is a boyfriend, a friend, a coworker. Like, you have to come from a place literally of 1,000% non-judgmental so that you can embrace
it. Which is hard because we're human.
Yeah, and it's not even that it's hard. It's just that it's to its simplest explanation that you think people will do what you will do.
Yeah.
And that right there is just setting you up for the fail because... I'm me and you're you. Yep. So you're going to do it how you do it.
I had a whole conversation with this with people the other day because they was real stuck on how they don't want to collaborate with other people because people are not going to do things the way they do it. I was like, but in business, you got to kind of have a middle ground.
You do.
But it goes back to that. Like, they don't trust people.
And that transcends in personal things and other ways why you don't get along. Like, it just gives you, I think this book really opens up your compassion because I feel like when you're compassionate, that's bringing yourself to a level of understanding why people do things and still loving them for who they are and, like, not judging them or feeling attacked. Because sometimes we take things personal of when people make decisions and people do certain things, you make it about you. Mm-hmm. And it was not to, like, necessarily hurt you, or it wasn't about you. It's, like, has to do with them. So it's just very, like, we're complex as human beings in that sense. And I think when people say, like, human beings are complex, I think that's the part they speak to. Mm-hmm. Because it seems simple, but it's not simple when we have all these different traumas and different things.
It's all gray. That's what I love about this book. It is such a great book that, like, he's basically saying, to your point, be yourself, like, and all the shit, be yourself, like, you know what I mean? And bring that out.
Yes, and accept your problems. He was like, we're always gonna have flaws, but you want to work in a world, or, like, build a life where the problems are the type of problems you want to have.
Right.
Not the ones that you don't have a choice to make. But it was just get the book. The subtle art of not giving a fuck. Yeah. I give a fuck that y'all get the book.
Facts. All of that. Hashtag obsessed with.
Oh my God, yes. You could talk about them. You want me to talk about
them?
Yeah. All right. So we have Carly from, well, okay, it's a duo. It's Carly Kushne and Michelle Ox of Kushne Ox. So their names are, like, a little bit tongue twister, but they are super amazing. They are fashion designers of the Kushne Ox brand. They're from London, mm-hmm. and they have just a dynamic duo. They met when they were in school together. I actually got to meet them when I was heavy on the blogging PR side world. They came for a breakfast during Fashion Week, and we got to speak to them about their line and just, like, how they work together, how they collaborated, and their ideas, how they brought them to fruition. And, you know, they have a really great education. Like, they went to Parsons. I don't know if both of them. I think both of them. But, like, their careers, they really went through the motions of, like, learning their craft and always just collaborating on their ideas to come together to bring that to life. And I just think it was just really dope because Carly she is of color,
yeah,
and Michelle isn't. So just them coming, uniting in a brand, you know, aesthetic wise and having different visions and how they can mesh that,
it's so dope. Like, they are just fabulous. One,
they are,
because I follow Carly on Instagram, I'm sure you do too. They're just super fabulous, but we really like the fact that they're collaborators and that they're two people who definitely have two different ideas and
individuals.
It's just, and their line is a good representation of that. And it's just really exciting to see. I really love their line. I think if there was ever an opportunity to collaborate, that would be a good one to do.
And they remind me of me and Ayana.
When we were talking about them. We're like, mm-hmm. just the fact that it's two girls, two dope chicks, mm-hmm. doing their thing. It's really exciting. So we kind of gave a little tease on Instagram because Carly was our hashtag obsessed with for this week.
Yes.
But
I'll read the caption real quick. But you guys need to go and like the picture. But let me tell you a little bit about her. So Kushne is creative director and CEO of Kushne and Ox, the designer women's wear brand founded in 2008. The London-born boss babe attended Parsons School of Design in both Paris and New York, where she received her BA in fashion design. Known for its impeccable fit, the Kushne Ox is rooted in clean lines and artful tailoring and designed for the modern woman. The brand also received several accolades, including CFDA Vogue Fashion Fund, the CFDA Swarovski Award. And a fun fact is that before launching her own line, she interned at Donna Karan, Proenza Scholler, and Oscar de la Renta. So she comes from deep-rooted fashion background.
Yeah, she's luck. She's fly.
Yeah, go like the picture on the gram and follow us, Non-Corporate Girls.
And shout out to Carly and Michelle.
Yes.
So on that note, we definitely have to go, like, literally. Yes. So let's talk about it. We kind of already talked about negative business practices, but we really want to know from you guys, like, what are some negative business practices that you guys have encountered in your life, whether it's in corporate, non-corporate, maybe share some of the ways you've combated that. Let us know what you think, right? Like, we want to know.
Yes. And the question that we pose is, what are some kind of negative business practices? So I asked my boyfriend to answer, like, because we were speaking about this not too long ago, and it's so funny that it came up. He was another example of, like, people that, like, gets it or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we both work to some degree, like, in a service industry, so to say, where, like, sales is integral to, like, the products or whatever. Right. So one of the things that was mentioned, I think that's part of a negative business practice, is the disconnect between, this is what he said, but, like, we agreed on this, is the disconnect between the sales team and the actual people who do the work. Sales team doesn't always know the capacity of what happens on a day-to-day. So even if it's possible, or even if it's possible for the person getting the client to be able to do the work without sacrificing all the deliverables. So that's a huge issue, because it's just like, if you don't, if you're selling a product that entails A through Z, you know, to be done by the 30th of month.
Right. Like, we have a set timeline. This is what we're doing.
Right. Like, how are you going to add to my bandwidth and not know, like, what it entails to mm-hmm. get this work done? So it's like, I understand you're trying to make
expectations.
Yeah, but it's also understanding the whole operations mm-hmm. of your business.
Going back to last week, remember when mm-hmm. we talked about wanting to understand your job, everyone's job, how this all ties together?
Yep. And then another part is retention. Also, at his job, he's dealing with a coworker who asked for a transfer to be working out of the Chicago office, and it was denied. And it was just like, why? And there's offices in Chicago. It was not like he was just going to be there remote floating on his own.
Right.
But they denied it. And I just feel like companies, instead of like keeping someone and just helping them with a lifestyle change, they will go and employ a whole new person and waste all the time training when you could just accommodate this employer you have and allow them to work out of the Chicago office. So now they're going to be short on staff, and here goes more work being placed on people that have to pick up the slack, because now you don't have this worker.
Because companies don't know how to grow their people and don't know how to expand on the value.
Facts. And lastly, I have one more. So if y'all know or do not know, my boyfriend's a DJ. That's his side hustle. So when we speak about DJing, a lot of the times people hire a DJ, let's say a promoter, for instance, they feel that the DJ also needs to promote the event. And it's just like, no, as a DJ, my job is to bring the equipment and provide the entertainment. So I think a part of in that negative business practice is like, expecting the DJ to bring in your crowd. When you as the promoter, that is your soul.
Well, I also think it depends on what's agreed upon. Because for anyone that signs in coming to anything, DJ or not, I feel like there should be something that's like, hey, can you promote this as well?
I mean, promote, yes, like I'll put it on my social, but like the success of the party should not be on who gets in the door because I
But that has to be that has to be understood though. That's the thing. There's too much fine lines.
So let me read this exactly. It says, unless the DJ themselves is throwing the event, I think personally, I agree, it's two distinct things. Like,
right.
As a DJ, I'm just being paid to DJ. Like
if you're hiring me to come here to DJ your party,
right?
If you want me to promote your party, that needs to be said to me. That needs to be negotiated upon. If you don't tell me that, I'm not doing that. I can do that if I choose to, but if there's nothing locked in, I'm not
doing
it.
So then speaking into that point, then yes. But I just feel that I don't even think that needs to be like contractually binding, because unless you're going to pay for it, because then that's a promotional aspect. So that's
that should be embedded. Like, I get
the whole event is not
free. Well, I'm just trying to understand, like, if I'm hiring him, is it a free thing? Like, you're just bartering, you're coming, you're doing this?
No,
or am I hiring you? I'm paying you as a DJ to do this event.
Yes.
If I'm paying you as a DJ, if I'm paying any talent to do something, I need to state what I want from you. Because I'm paying
you.
So
right. And that will be included in the fee.
And if it's not included in the fee or the contract,
then it's optional.
So that's what I'm talking about. It gets blurry. It's fine lines. Because if you're talent, I'm bringing you in and I'm paying you to do something for me. Aside from just DJing. Like, I want you to also bring in people. Like, whatever it is I'm paying you for, you need to, like, that's what I want.
Got it. So, yeah, it definitely needs to be cleared because people disagree. Like, it's very up in the air, and it is very situational based. But something that you have to discuss in all areas, whether it's for a talent or anything. Like when it comes to negative business practices, most of the time it can be something that's resolved if both people are communicating and going into the situation with the understanding of what the outcome is going to look like.
Set those expectations.
Because on Zano, we about to be out.
Hope you enjoyed this episode. Check in for next time.
And follow us on the gram.
Thank you for tuning into episode 51, Negative Business Practices. Don't forget to catch your favorite girls on the gram, Ayana, the_Aya_brand, Delilah, Miss Delilah C. Check us out wherever you hear your tunes, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitchers. Should you have any promotions, collaborations, or just want to be a guest, shoot us a note via email, noncorporategirls@gmail.com. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter on our website. Stay tuned for episode 52.